Bad. And on the line now, I have Tina, and she's from the organisation Domestic Workers Action Group. Good morning, Tina. How are you?
Hello, good morning. I'm good, thank you. And you?
Oh, not too bad at all. Can I ask you about the organisation itself, the establishment of it, and how long it's been going?
Yeah, Domestic Workers Action Group, they're basically migrant women that came from different countries, and they came here to Ireland to work as domestic workers. And most of them have experienced exploitation, discrimination, isolation in the country as they work in a private home. And as individuals, we all came together to work as a group to support ourselves for, we campaigned for change and justice for ourselves, our right for ourselves.
Okay.
And
what sort of reaction did you get, in extent, when they were, you know, approaching people as a group? And who would you first have approached?
It wasn't easy. We're trying to approach ourselves first, to empower ourselves first, as individuals that we have the same experience. We empower ourselves, and then we're trying to also bring out the news to the people, the country, like the public. We do a lot of campaign and protesting. We do a lot of action, like drama, and to get the public attention. We do a lot of drama and music campaigns to bring out our stories, to also able to approach the government with our stories, to let them know what we're going through from the private home as the domestic workers. And it wasn't easy, because all of us here, we're working and some of us are studying, but we managed to make it. And sometimes the weather is really hard, but we managed to make sure that we bring out the story across for people to know what is going on in a private home, because domestic work is a work, and the society needs domestic workers, because without the domestic workers, the society will not, it has to move on for other workers to move on with their work without domestic workers. We do most of the things. So, yeah, we did a lot of campaign. We do a lot of music and drama to campaign for our rights and protection in the country.
Okay, because over the past, I mean, it's on the increase over the past many, many years, and it's only come to light at the moment, and the ratification must be a great joy to the organisation now.
Yeah, finally, we are really delighted to be able to have the ILO Convention now finally in the level, because Ireland is one of the third countries in the whole European that have ratification now that ratified the domestic work in the country. For example, UK, we're just very neighboring, we're very close to each other, but still, UK, they haven't ratified the convention yet. So I'm sure it's a big achievement for us to be able to do this, because we're going to be able to set a good example for the UK, and so they can be able to see and to also help the domestic workers there, because the situation there is getting bad now for the domestic workers. There's a lot of isolation going on there. So, I think it's important for them to see and do that, and we're really delighted to be able to do that. We're the third country, the whole European EU, to ratify this convention. It's a big thing for us. We know exactly what we've been through, and it was important for us. It's a great achievement for us.
Okay, this will empower fellow workers in other European countries, of course. Is it because of the type of job it is? I mean, you're only looking for the same rights as any other worker. For instance, I mean, minimum wage, time off, and all that sort of carry on. So, is it because of the isolation of the worker itself? What makes it so different?
What makes it so different is because the domestic workers, most of them, they work mostly in a private home, in a private household, and nobody can see them, and the employer can really treat them anyhow, messy, that nobody can see them, and they have no proof to show, and there's nobody that watches them in the private home as they work. So it was quite hard for them to move on in that kind of area to work. Now that the legislation is there, now finally they are recognized, they are known where they are working, and definitely the situation will be different now the employer cannot do any discrimination against them because they know there's a law there that whatever they do, they can be persecuted for that.
It is now, but I was thinking of before that the type of binds that are attached to the job itself. For instance, if you're not being treated well, even if you're told conditions before you go in, and then the conditions by your employer are broken. But after a while, when it changes, you could say, well, why don't they just walk out? But there's a lot more to it than that as regards papers and passports. Why is that? Yeah. Why is that difference there? Is that part of your employment that you have to hand up all your papers and passports?
Yeah, that was how it was before. The employer, they have more power on their employees, the domestic workers. Most of them from the airport, they will never see their passport or documents again, or even the signing contract. Most of them, they have not even contract for their work. They will just go straight and start working. There's no contract, there's nothing. And the employer holds their passport and their valid documents. The employee really has, the domestic worker has not much rights for their work. They have no their own rights and they have no way to go. Most of them as the migrants, they don't know where to go. They have to just stick on to it. But now we have a great connection now with NIWA and also with CIPTU. We're all working on collects together as a group, and the domestic worker now before they go to the private home, now there's a protection now. The employer has no much right to hold their passport, and they have to sign on for a contract before the woman start working or a man start working in the private home as a domestic worker. And they'll be watching to be seeing what is happening in the private home. So now it's not more invisible that like the way it was before.
Okay.
It's more visible now.
Okay, and that makes it much better. Is there ways that some of the employers who are unscrupulous that can get around this, but maybe hiring people abroad and bringing them in that way? Is there protection for that type of worker in this?
Sorry, come again.
I mean, if there's an employer here who's unscrupulous and he says, well, okay, we have these rights, and obviously to be there for the workers, but he could get workers abroad online, invite them over to work. Is he still? Yeah. Does he still have to abide by the same rules?
Yeah, it has to work by the same rule. As far as the worker she's coming here to work in Ireland, still in the private home, but still she have to have the same rights with all the workers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's everywhere now. The employee cannot hide. He cannot pretend to be like he don't know what the rule is. He don't know what the legislation is, because they all know that it's everywhere. So, there's nothing that can be done hidden by the employer and get away with that anymore.
Okay. And will this legislation travel? Will you be campaigning to bring it into other countries in Europe now?
Yeah, that is what we're doing. We're trying to make it, other countries to be able to have it as well. We're so on the moon, to be able to be the third, the whole European country. We're just the third country in Ireland, in Europe, to ratify the ILO Convention. It's a big achievement. It's a huge achievement for us. We are hoping the UK will be able to have that as well,
mm-hmm.
because we're very close to each other, and it's just so different to, you know, for us to watch them going through that experience that we had. It's not fair. I think they need the right as well. They need the protection, because we know exactly what we've been through, and it's hard to just sit back to see other countries or other women
mm-hmm.
going through that situation as well. We are going to be working together to campaign for that, to make sure that they also have their rights as well.
And can I ask you mentioned there women, is it mainly women or totally women? Is there any men involved in this at all as regards domestic work?
Well, from my experience, in my group, we're mostly domestic, we're women, but I'm sure there's men as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the men are not coming out that much as the women do, but there's men hidden around as well.
Okay. Now, what way does people contact each other, for instance? Do you watch out for people coming over, or do they have to...
Yeah.
Is it like a union now?
Yeah, some of the women, they came to the centre in Migrant Rights Centre Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
That's MRCI. And some of them, they just get from the word of mouth through friends. And some churches, we have the leaflets everywhere just to make sure that if you go to church or schools or hospitals, you may see the leaflet somewhere. And that's where you can get the information and find yourself in the center and find what you need to do or to report your story. And then from the Migrant Trust Center, I know we take action. You need to make sure that you have you have reached your rights and the protection that you need from the government.
Okay. Okay, well, congratulations on this, and I'm sure everybody is happy as regards the way it's going, and continued success on your travels to Europe and getting this right across, because I have to say it has been a long time coming.
Yes.
The only thing I will say to an extent is experience that even though when you do have unions and protections and all like that, there's still unscrupulous employers out there that you have to watch out for.
Yeah.
So you'll be on the...
Come again.
You'd be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, definitely. We have to look around to make sure. Actually, the plan for now, we're trying to make sure that before a woman come into the country or a worker come into the country from the airport, they're going to be aware of her, where she's going, and who she's working with, and how about her details. Make sure that she is safe. She's not going to be invincible on her own.
Mm-hmm.
That is the plan from now. Any domestic worker that came to Ireland, a carer or a minder or a domestic worker that is coming to Ireland from the airport, they're going to be aware of her so that she's not alone, to make sure she's safe and to make sure she's also well paying and she's having a good time working term condition in the private home.
And that's the way it should be as well.
That's where it should be.
Yeah. Okay, Tina, thank you very much. Congratulations to yourself and all those in the Domestic Workers Action Group.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, too. Thanks.
Thank you, and thanks for talking to us on Air FM. Thank you, Tina. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, that's something we've talked about many times on Air FM. I remember Grace had a program on a series on that as well, a colleague that was here many times. And it's a great achievement for them now with that legislation.